Luke chapter 1, this morning I want to continue to share on the kingdom of God, and we're talking about how the kingdom works in our lives. How the kingdom works. How do I go from where I'm at today to where God wants me to be in His kingdom? We know that the kingdom of God we've seen is God's rule, God's dominion, God's reign in our lives, and we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So how does the kingdom come to me, and how does God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven through and by that kingdom? So we're looking at activating the kingdom. We basically believe in the kingdom of God. We believe the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is here and that we're pressing into it. But how do I activate it? How do I get it working in my life? Because I read the Word of God, I hear the things of God, and I bear witness to them, and I'm excited about them. But when I look at my life, things aren't lining up in my world like what the kingdom says things ought to be. So how do I bring that kingdom on into my world and change my world? So I began to share some principles with you last week on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God and how it works. The first one was that it is by the power of God. God's kingdom works in your lives by the power of God versus the power of man or willpower. This is a supernatural kingdom. You are to operate supernaturally in the kingdom of God. You don't live this life by willpower. You don't live the Christian life by the power of man or the power of the flesh or the power of rules or regulations. It's by a new life. It's by a union with Christ Jesus and God's power working in you and through you. It's not by might, nor by power, man's power, but by the Spirit of God. And for some of you, it's going to take a long time for you to learn that, unfortunately. It doesn't have to, but you're trying in the flesh to live the life. You're trying to make things happen. You're trying through willpower to overcome sin. You're trying through the power of the flesh to see good things in your life. And you're going to come to the end of that in time. You can get there through humility or the school of hard knocks, but eventually you're going to come to the same place we all do. Hey, this is supernatural. I can't live this. I need the power of God to overcome sin in my life. I need the power of God to perform the will of God. And so that's principle number one. The second principle that we began to look at is out of Matthew chapter 13, that God brings His kingdom, or His kingdom comes to us by the Word, and the Word is seed. Is seed. God's Word is seed. And the Word of the kingdom comes into your heart in seed form. In seed form. So that is a principle that everyone must understand, that we must be taught, that the Word of the kingdom, God's Word, is seed. And that seed has the power inside of it to reproduce after its own kind. It's the Word in you that's bringing about the will of God. It's the Word working in you that's changing your marriage. It's the Word working in you that's changing your health. It's the Word working in you that's changing your outlook, etc., etc. And so we looked at Matthew 13, the four types of ground that the good seed was sown on. Now, I will come back next week and we'll break those four grounds down in much, much detail. But let me highlight it again for you. The first ground that the seed was sown on was ground by the wayside. And it says, Jesus speaking, that the people didn't understand it. They simply did not understand the word of the kingdom. Now, I used to think that some of us just can't understand certain things, or we're not going to understand. And it was a mystery to me. I have discovered recently that understanding and the responsibility for understanding is on your part and my part. We can understand the things of God. We can, by the Spirit, if we choose to hear, we can hear what God is saying and understand His Word. It's not difficult. But if you don't value it, if you're too busy, if you're not paying attention, you won't understand the things of God. They'll go right over your head and you'll go, "Oh, that's too hard. Oh, that's too difficult. I can't figure this out." You will excuse away understanding and be fruitless in your life. And that was the first ground. The fowls of the air got it before it ever took root in their heart. I like that. And we may talk about that in detail again next week. Notice how the devil stowed the word. It was through the fowls of the air. Just little birds, innocent little things, thoughts and planning and not paying attention. The devil didn't come to steal the word as a roaring lion or a guy with pointy ears and a pitchfork. Just little birds, tweet, 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 tweet. Just not paying attention, distracted, not valuing what's being said or taking heed to it, and Satan stealing it. The second ground was stony ground. It didn't have much earth or root in themselves. They heard the word and they were excited about it. They received it with joy. Because how can you hear the gospel of the kingdom and not be excited about it? When you hear good news, it will absolutely excite you. When you hear that there is a life, a new life for you, that's exciting versus the life you're living in the flesh. When you hear that there is peace like a river you can have, there's joy. Who doesn't want joy? There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, you hear that stuff, you go, give me some of that. I want some of that peace like a river again. Who would turn that down? But see, what happens is when persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. See, there's a price to pay. There is sacrifice that takes place when the word starts working in you. It'll cost you something. And that second ground, that guy's too self-centered and selfish to sacrifice anything. If it costs me something, I'm not interested. If you can make me happy and me live my own life and go my own way, I'll take that. If you can heal me and me live for the devil and live for self and do my own thing, I'll take that. But if all of a sudden now all of these blessings, all of these benefits of the kingdom are focused in a relationship with the king, and I may have to sacrifice some things, I'm not interested. And that's a lot of people. They're that way. A lot of charismatics are that way. As long as you can excite them and you can have a circus and power exploding and manifestations, they'll drive for hundreds of miles for the fishes and loaves. But all of a sudden when you go, oh, by the way, this all testifies to something greater than itself, relationship with Jesus the king, I'm not interested in that now. I want to do my own thing and go my own way. You start talking about commitment now and other things like that, and that it could cost me something. My family may get mad at me. My friends may reject me. Oh, no, I'm too self-centered for that. I want everybody to like me, so they are offended and don't bear much fruit. And then the third ground, and this is where most of us in America are. We've got to get honest. The third ground had thorns in it, Jesus said. Thorns in their heart. And he said that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word of God. See, the word of God will work. The word of God has power in it. The word of God has life in it to change your life, to change your circumstances, to change your destiny, to change your world. But what happens is the ground is so different in here. Most of the people, even in here that love God, you're so full of care, so full of worry about all that's happening in the world, and your focus is so in the natural, you're choking the word of God. He said the deceitfulness of riches, not riches. There's a deceit that comes with riches. What's the deceit? If I just had more money, everything would be fine, so I work two jobs. If I just had more money, I'd be happy, so I work three jobs. If I just had more money and more things, I would feel good about myself. It's a deceit, and it burns people's lives up, and they burn out after the pursuit of the almighty dollar. And then he said the lust of other things. And see, a lot of people don't take heed to what I'm saying right here and what Jesus was saying because, hey, give me a break, Dwayne. We got to work. We gotta get money. We have to have money to eat, right? Yeah. We have to have money to get clothes, right? Yeah. We have to have money to buy our homes, right? Yeah. Yeah. I understand. And hey, it's a rat race out there, Brother Dwayne. Don't you understand how hard it is? I work 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Come home, have to work another 3 hours a day. I'm tired. What's wrong with me just sitting in the chair and looking at the boob tube for 5 hours every day? Having no idea that there's a big vine that comes out of that picture. And it just paralyzes and immobilizes your brain. And it feels good. It's like an addiction. And I mean, you're sitting there because you don't have to think. You don't have to judge. You don't have to discern anything. And you can just kind of flesh out and bam, vine, choking the word of God. You're watching that thing on the average of 5 hours a day. Come in here once a week, and in 50 minutes you expect me to counter all those hours, all week long of the world programming you and that vine in your heart. In your heart. I'm not condemning you for watching TV. I'm not condemning you for having a TV. We'll talk about all of those kind of things. But we have to guard our hearts because the cares of this world will choke the word of God. The deceitfulness of riches will choke the word of God. And the lust for all these other things will choke the word of God. It's not the word of God that's the problem. The word of God, the seed, is the same for us all. Listen, the same seed that God sowed in Paul that changed the world is in you. The same seed that was in John the Revelator is in you and is in me. The same seed that was in the first century church that changed the face of the world, that seed is in us. The seed's not the problem. The problem's the heart, the ground, the soil. And we got to work on the ground, the heart, the soil, and I'll talk about that next week. Okay? Bottom line is, the seed, if I could get everybody's heart the same, think about this, saints, if all of us could have our heart in the same place, the soil, in the same place, and I sow the same seed into the same ground, do you realize 1 year later, every one of us and our lives will be changed to the same degree, the same measure by the seed, the word of the kingdom, because of the condition of everybody's heart. But see, unfortunately, we got hearts with this in it and at this place and hearts over here and hearts like this. And some of your hearts, you got so many traditions in your heart and religious thinking in your heart. I can't even get the seed in there without pounding on you, without almost coming after you and slapping you around a little bit because of your religious upbringing. You won't even let the seed get to your heart. Now, I don't believe that. I don't see it that way. I don't know nothing about that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Man, thank God the seed has got the power in it to get the job done. If we'll put it in our heart, God will water it. It'll take root, and in time we'll all bear much fruit. Amen? All right. Now, thank you very much. Look at Luke chapter 1. We'll start in verse 26, because this little girl was one of the most awesome women that's ever been on this planet. She's 15, 16 years of age. Her name is Mary, and she was made a promise from God, got a word from God by the angel Gabriel. And in her question, how can this be? God unlocked in the answer from the angel Gabriel how the kingdom works. How the word of the kingdom gets in the earth and how the word of the kingdom manifests in our lives. This is an awesome, awesome account of a lady of great, great faith. She believed God, we're going to see. She received the word of God via an angel and believed for one of the greatest miracles that's ever taken place on this planet, a virgin birth. Now, her predecessor, Zechariah, the father of John, the same angel Gabriel went to him and told him while he's in church, while he's offering religious ceremonial works before God, the same angel told him, you are going to have a child. Elizabeth is going to conceive in her old age, and he'll be great, and he'll be this, and he'll do this, and he'll turn the nation of Israel to the heart of the Father, and the hearts of the fathers to their children. He'll prepare the way of Messiah, all these great things. And Zechariah, instead of asking a question, questioned the angel. There is a difference between questioning and asking a question. And while I can't fully explain it, everybody in here knows the difference. You know when someone is asking you a question out of belief versus questioning you out of unbelief. When you ask a question in belief, you have the intent of taking a step forward in understanding and in the will of God. Any question you have ever asked, saints, think about it. Your heart and your intent was to go forward. Your heart and intent was to fix something, adjust something so you can go forward. Every time you've questioned something in unbelief, your intent of your heart was to either stay right where you are or even go backwards. And Zechariah did not ask a question. He questioned the angel, and the angel slapped 9 months of lockjaw on him. I mean, he was made dumb by an angel of God. What's your excuse? I mean, when you're struck dumb by an angel, you be one dumb fella. Amen? The angel shut his mouth. I'm going to show you why that's important here in a minute. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. God had a sovereign work for Elizabeth, and Elizabeth believed. And God had a sovereign work for that boy, John Baptist, and he wasn't going to let Zechariah the father in his unbelief mess it up with his words and his doubt and unbelief being expressed through his words. So that angel stopped his mouth. He became dumb for 9 months. Until that boy was born. And when that boy, John the Baptist, was born, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the cousin of the Lord, Zechariah could talk again. That's pretty powerful. All I got to say is if an angel visits you, honor me enough. Do not embarrass me. Ask questions, but don't question the angel. And if you walk around here with lockjaw, I know what happened to you. You done doubted God. He done shut your mouth to keep you from hurting yourself any further. In Luke 1:26, let's look at Mary's life and this awesome miracle and what God did. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, thank you, Lord, there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So get in her head now. She's 15, 16 years of age, which is awesome for a kid that young to have faith like this in God and to hear this word from God and then ask a question. She's simply asking a question. How am I going to have a baby? How am I going to bring forth the Son of God, seeing I know not a man? She knew the only way to conceive was to have relations with a man. She knew the only way to be pregnant is to have relations with a man, and she hadn't had one and wasn't planning on having one. So how is this going to happen? That's a fair question. And again, I do not fault her. I do not criticize her at all. She's one of the most awesome, in my mind, figures in the entire Word of God. When I think about what she believed for, you know, I think I've got faith. I've seen miracles. I've seen great things. I've seen God bless y'all, and many of you believe for great and mighty things. But can I get a witness that a virgin birth is in the top 10 in the world? That's big time. That makes me feel like I haven't trusted God for nothing. And this girl's 15, 16 years old. In my mind, that'd be Shekinah's only a year away from that. And that just blows my mind. One thing I see in that that just delights my heart is that you don't have to be old to believe God for great and mighty things. You don't have to reach a certain age before God can use you for a miracle and to bring forth great things in His kingdom and His kingdom in you and through you. This girl is 15, 16 years old, and she is about to give birth to the Son of the living God. The Word is about to be made flesh in her womb through her simple faith. That is incredible. Hallelujah. Absolutely incredible. Now, watch the answer. She asked a question, a legitimate question, and the angel is going to answer her. And while there are mysteries associated with the virgin birth, we do have some of the account of God on what happened there. And that excites me. Verse 35 says, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, watch this, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What does she say? Be it unto me according to thy word. Now look at verse 45 because it complements verse 38. Elizabeth is visited by Mary. Elizabeth prophesies. John on the inside of Elizabeth, when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, when she began to prophesy, the baby leaped for joy on the inside of her. And it says in verse 45, Elizabeth speaking here, And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Notice she believed. She had to mix faith with the Word of God. She had to mix faith with the promise seed. The promise of God, the Word of God. But when she mixed faith, when she believed, received, and conceived, the Holy Spirit watered or overshadowed the seed. God the Father put the seed, the Word of God, the living Word of God, into a womb of a woman, and the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed it, overshadowed or watered that Word. And 9 months later, that girl brought forth the Word of God. God performed His Word. See, every seed, every word from God has the power of God to perform or fulfill itself if you'll just water it, if you'll just receive it, if you'll just rest in the Lord will bring it to pass in your life. People who have prophesied over me, the words in the Bible, the words of God, the Word of God, the promises of God, I put them in my heart. I believe them, I receive, and then I conceive. And the Holy Spirit, if I don't quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, but if I yield to the Holy Spirit, He's like water. He'll overshadow any word in the womb of my heart. He'll overshadow any seed of the kingdom, word of the kingdom in my heart, and that thing will take root in my heart, and in time, if I don't abort it, I will bring forth fruit of the kingdom of heaven. Mary brought forth the whole word of God. Every word God had ever said, every promise God had ever made. I get so excited about this, I can't hardly stand it. And this is my third hour, so I'm kind of over the thrill of it. But I'm telling you right now, it just, something leaps on the inside of me. It's not physical. I get so excited at the prospect of this woman's faith and how it worked and how I can learn from that. Because every promise God had ever made, all the law, all the prophets, all the word of God that took thousands of years, a seed here and a seed there, all that word became flesh in the womb of a woman. The living word. Anything God had ever promised, anything God had ever said, right there it is in the womb of this woman. And the Holy Spirit for 9 months overshadowed, watered that seed, protected it, and brought it forth in her life. That's how God brings forth the kingdom in your life. That's how the word comes to manifestation in your life. That's how you see it go from these pages that religion gets stuck in to in the womb of your heart. As you believe, receive, and conceive, that word jumps off of these pages into the womb of your heart. And if you won't quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, but if you will learn how to let the water of the Spirit water the seed, that thing takes root in your heart. And if you just trust God and wait on God, I'm telling you, in time, that stuff starts springing forth out of your life, and you see the word in your life manifested. Amen? That's how it works, saints. It's how it works for you. It's how it works for me. It's how it works for everybody in here. But unfortunately, again, most of the time the seed doesn't even get to your heart because of the fouls of the air. Some of the seed gets in there, but you're too self-centered and you love your life too much instead of accepting His life and letting His life be reproduced in and through your life. And so you're that second ground, or you're that third ground that a lot of us war with, and I think the most of us in this house war with, those three things that are a part of our culture, like vines choking it. If I can keep the heart right, if I can keep my heart pure, if I can water that seed, and I'm going to share some things here in a moment on how to water that seed, that I think it'll help everybody if you'll receive it, you can see your life changed. You can see the kingdom and the King of the kingdom manifesting in your life, in your life. So the first principle was, this is the power of God, not the power of man. The second principle is, God comes to us, His kingdom comes by the word, in the word. The word is seed. It has to be sown on ground. It has to be sown in your heart, the womb of your heart. The third principle is, you must believe, receive, and conceive the word of God. It has to become personal. You have to believe it, receive it, and conceive. If you believe, receive, and conceive, and carry it now over time, the fourth principle kicks in. The Holy Spirit will overshadow the word. And in time, He'll water it, and it will progress like a baby on the inside of a mother's womb. It will mature, it will develop, it will begin to grow, and there'll come a point in your life, it'll spring forth into your life, and you can't stop it. You can't even keep it from happening. Again, I've had four children. I've been pregnant four times. I've had four children. A lot of people talk about how Sue had those kids. I beg to differ with you. I had those kids. I was pregnant with all four of those kids. I walked through it. I went through it. It was an exciting time. It was adventurous. Had its ups and had its downs. But I remember when Sue and I first got pregnant with our first child, we were excited about it. And there's an excitement about the seed being on the inside of us. And remember, Sue and I are one. I believe this stuff. I believe we're one. We're one flesh. And so don't be writing me, ladies, about how I haven't had no baby. I've had four babies, and that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Amen? I know what I went through. Hallelujah. And so I want to help you. Let me help you. I can talk about pregnancy. I can talk about the stages. I can communicate this because of the one flesh principle. Sue and I are so one. I went and got a physical last week for insurance purposes, and they needed blood, so I told them, take her blood and tell me how I'm doing. Hallelujah. That's one flesh. That's how one we are. I get a headache, and she takes an aspirin, and I'm better. Amen. Well, When we first got pregnant, we were all excited. You're excited. Something's on the inside of you. Nobody around you can see. They can't tell any difference, but you're just excited because there's a seed. There's life. You know there's life on the inside of you, but you don't have any evidence of it yet. You don't have anything in the natural, but you know that you know there's life, a form of life on the inside of you. So you're telling everybody, we're pregnant, we're pregnant, we're going to have a baby. Hallelujah. And you're all excited. And then how many of you know after about 3 months when the morning sickness sets in, the excitement's right out the door. You was telling everybody about how neat it was and excited you were. Now you're not even talking about it. Kind of grumpy. Moody. Oh, I was moody through pregnancy. Really moody. Had some tremendous mood swings. It was incredible. And so you get into that six-month period. And how many of you know after about 6 months, you start showing. There's some evidence. We're not sure if you're just gaining weight or if something's really happening here. But it looks like something's happening. We don't see fruit yet. We don't see a baby. But you start showing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then right up to 8 months, you really start showing. And I mean, in your ninth month, I mean, we're all pretty convinced something's fixing to happen here. You be showing. I saw a lady in the store the other day. I'm telling you, she wasn't out here showing. It was all the way down to her knees. That woman was about to have a baby, no doubt in my mind, any minute. I was so sure she was about to have a baby any minute. I got away from her because I was nervous that somebody was going to start screaming, "Is there a preacher in this door?" I ain't delivering no baby in Walmart. You know it's almost there. It's almost time. And again, by that ninth month, I mean, you ain't talking about it no more. You're not giddy about it no more. You're grumpy and you just want to get this over with. I'm tired of carrying this thing. You ain't going around saying, is it a boy or is it a girl? You don't care if it's a male or a female. You don't care if it's a swordfish or an alien. Just get it out of me and I want it out now. And they throw your feet up in them stirrups. Throw the mercy sheet over you. Most humiliating thing, I think, on the planet. I can't tell you how many times I've bowed my head and said, "Oh God, I thank thee that I'm not a woman." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care what I'm going through. Thank you. I have a joyful heart that I'm not a woman. It's an incredible experience. I just don't know how they do it. I mean, they got you strapped down like that, feet up in the stirrups, people walking by, taking pictures, interns. Just horrible. Get it out of me. I mean, you're in such agony and pain, and you've suffered for so long. I mean, you're hollering at the doctor, "Get the salad spoon and get this thing out of me." Y'all never saw the salad spoon? All right, let that one go. Bottom line, you're wanting to have it and get it over with. But how many of you know, unless you carry it to full term, if you bring it prematurely, it could damage the fruit, the child. Am I making sense? So no matter how bad you want it to happen in 3 months, it would be detrimental if it happened in 3 months to the fruit. You want it to happen in 6 months, it'd be detrimental if it happened in 6 months. But can I get a witness, ladies, that there is a point in which you can't stop it from happening? I know that for a fact, or none of us would be here. If women could stop it, they would have stopped it. Right? But you can't stop it. I mean, I had to tell Sue, let go. We need to get this. I had to slap her to get her to let go. It's time. Oh, come on. Some of you looking at me like, oh, I didn't slap her. She slapped me, all right? She told me, "Don't touch me." You know how women get. "Don't touch me. Ever again. Don't you ever touch me." That'll hit the rest of you later. It's a traumatic time in their life. Bottom line is, there's a point you can't stop it. The Word of God comes into the heart, the womb of our heart, and it's like seed. And when you believe God's Word, when you believe a promise, when you believe what this says, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to believe it, and you conceive on the inside of your heart. And if you carry it to full term, there's a point in which you can't stop it from coming to pass. It will come forth. It will bring forth fruit if you will carry it full term. I can't tell how many people miss out on kingdom power, kingdom manifestations, kingdom of God working in their life because they're impatient. They'll come to church. I'll sow the good word. They'll believe it. They'll receive it. But they want to see it overnight. And that's where they mess up. They don't understand seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And that's why we don't see any more kingdom working in people's lives than we see. It's not because the word doesn't work. The word does work. It's not because there's a limited amount of power in some seed and the seed you get is an inferior seed than the seed I get. No, I had to sow the seed and I had to be patient and wait on God and carry it to full maturity and then bring it forth, just like you're going to have to do that. Here's the good news about my life and where I'm at today. Early in my Christian experience, there was a lot more sowing than reaping. But see, I sowed some seeds, hypothetically, 9 months ago, and I'm getting a harvest on those seeds. I'm bearing fruit on those seeds of the word of the kingdom today. But you know what I'm doing today? I'm sowing seeds. And tomorrow, I'll reap a harvest on seeds sown 8 months ago, but I'll sow another seed that day. And then the next day, I'm reaping another harvest on seeds sown 7 months ago. Are you getting it? Do I need to keep going? So now I'm at a point in my life, I'm getting harvest after harvest after harvest, but I'm not stupid. I'm still sowing seeds every day for my next 9 month harvest where I can live the rest of my life now just with an abundance of harvest. I'm not only getting a harvest that's blessing me and changing me, I'm not only getting corn that's exciting, I mean full heads of corn. I'm just eating up on it. And then I'm ripping some of it off and giving you some and ripping some off and giving you some. So I'm not only getting blessed in my personal life from seed sown. I believe, I receive and conceived. Now I'm bringing forth fruit. I'm sowing into other people's lives. I'm seeing them get a harvest. I'm getting a harvest. They're getting a harvest. And we're just dancing in the fields of God, enjoying the harvest. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to work. But see, a lot of you come, you hear the good word of God, you hear the seed, I sow the seed, you believe it, you receive, you conceive, but if you ain't got a baby, by the time you get out in your car, you give up on it. You get frustrated. It don't work for me. The devil wars against the seed, and you have a miscarriage. Most Christians miscarry, unknowing to their consciousness, the word of God on a regular basis because they don't know how to protect the seed. They don't know the war against the seed that's going on. See, what makes you a threat to the devil, saints, is not you. It's the seed in you. It's the word in you that is a threat to the devil. It's the seed in you. It's the word in you that Satan hates and those of Satan hate. They hate God and they can't get to God. So the God they see in you, they attack you to get to him. And it's always been that way. One of the things I'm going to do when I'm 70, 80, maybe I'll wait till I'm 90, somewhere right around in there. But one of these days, I'm going to shuffle up. By then, I'll be shuffling. I won't be walking. I'm going to shuffle up the stage, and I'm going to shuffle up to the pulpit, and I'm going to say, open your Bible to the book of Revelation, and we're going to go through the book of Revelation. The only reason I won't do it now is because most of what I have to say out of that book is going to fly right in the face of mainstream religion and all our theology about the end days, and I don't want the hassle, and I don't want to create any more confusion. There's enough confusion out there on the end day that I can leave that alone for now. But I'm telling you, that book is full of kingdom realities. That book is full of the reign of Jesus and the glory of God in the church. And if you'll just sneak over there and read about the woman that's got the seed in her, it was Israel until the cross, and they're hated to this day because of the seed that was in them. Now it's the church is the woman that has the seed, the promised seed, the word of the kingdom in her. And Satan hates the church and wars against the church. See, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the Jewish people have historically been hated by the world nearly since their conception. And that's not natural. I don't know if you've ever sat around and thought about why does the world at large and many in the world hate the Jews? Why are they so hated, saints? You can't name one group of people that is hated worldwide for no reason outside the Jews. There's got to be a reason for that. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. I'm telling you, it's not natural, the world and the hatred they have for the Jewish people and for that nation over there. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. I'm telling you, it's demonic. I'm telling you, its root goes right back to Satan. Those people as a nation brought the Messiah to the world. Those people as a nation had the seed, the word of the kingdom in them, and Satan warred against them, not because he hated them, he hated the Messiah. He hated the promised seed, the promised seed that was on the inside of them, and they're still hated to this day supernaturally for bringing in Messiah. Now, we are the woman. We are the church that has the seed, the word of the kingdom in our heart, and Satan hates us just like he hated and still hates them. I'm telling you, a lot of the things you're going through and trials and suffering and afflictions, you think they're just natural. You think that this, you know, is normal and it's just par for the course. There are many things we go through, saints. If we had any idea, it would probably scare us at how we are such a threat to the kingdoms of this world. We're such a threat to the devil and his establishment. We're such a threat to religion. When that seed, when the word of the kingdom, the promised seed, is conceived and begins to come forth in your life, you are a mega major threat to the enemy. And you better learn this stuff or you'll just give up and back out on the things of God. All right? Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark said something and a parable that none of the other writers recorded. Mark chapter 4. I'm still talking about how does the kingdom come into our lives and how does the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's through the word of God. It's by the word of God which is seed. It has to be sown in your heart. You must believe, receive, and conceive. Once you do that, the fourth principle is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit waters the seed. The Holy Spirit overshadows the seed. When God the Father put the seed, the promised seed, the Word, in the womb of Mary, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, overshadowed it. He's the water. He waters the seed. That's why if you go to a church that doesn't even believe in the Holy Spirit, if you go to a church that quenches the Holy Spirit or grieves the Holy Spirit, then there'll be seed cast out there, but it'll remain dormant till it gets watered. See, a lot of you have come out of backgrounds where you got a lot of seed in you, but it's been dormant your whole life. You step into Victory Life, and I water the seed, and it explodes on the inside of you. You get so excited, you're beyond yourself. That wasn't me. It wasn't Victory Life. Seed had been sown in your heart for years, but there was no watering it. And if you sow seed and you don't water it, you get little or no fruit. But well, when that water hits that seed, it could be 50 years old and it's lying there dormant. I come along, speak the word of the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit overshadow it. Bam! Something happens on the inside of you supernaturally. That's the way God works. That's how His kingdom works. Look at this in Mark chapter 4 and what Mark brought out, a parable the others didn't. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I'm still talking about how the kingdom works. How do I get the kingdom to you? How do I get the kingdom in you? Through seeds. What seeds? The word of the kingdom. That's why I'm going to preach the word of God and teach the word of God and preach the word of God and teach the word of God. It's seed and it's the only way the kingdom comes to you. The kingdom comes to you through seed form. Through human agency, speaking the word of God. That's the way you get faith. That's the way you believe, receive, and conceive is by faith. And the only way faith comes is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except one speak? And how can you speak except you be sent? And then Paul goes and talks about how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of glad tidings and good things. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What I do is so important to your destiny. That's why I live the life I live. That's why I pray like I pray. That's why I search like I search. I know that if you'll come here and you'll open your heart and you've got a good heart and you keep your heart right, if I can put the good seed in there, if I can sow that seed skillfully and we don't quench the Holy Spirit in this house, it'll be watered and before you get out the door, something will be working on the inside of you. And if you don't miscarry or purposely abort it, you're going to bring forth fruit, much fruit to the glory of God. All right, he says, the kingdom's like sowing seed, verse 27. And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Not sure how this works, but I know enough to sow it and to wait. Verse 28 says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Did you see progression there like I've been teaching you? Did you see stages? First the ear, then the blade, then the full corn in the ear. Then, verse 29 says, he puts forth the sickle immediately and receives his harvest. Receives his harvest. See, what happens again, some of you, I pour the seed, I plant the seed, I'm farming. And you go home, and by Tuesday, you run out there and dig the seed up and go, what's wrong? It ain't working for me. You kill it by over-examining it. You kill it by trying to figure it out with your mind. Others of you, I sow the seed and you'll give me a week. You give me a week of your time. You'll wait on God. You'll come back. And then you see a little bit of evidence. You'll see a blade. But how many of you know that's not what we're looking for? But it'll excite you and you'll dig the blade up to see what you got. You don't got nothing yet. You got a blade. Then you have the ear. That's the stalk. Then the full corn in the ear. If you're taking notes, the next principle is seed, time, and harvest. Time, time, time. It takes time. I don't know how. I don't know how much time. I don't know what the variables are on the time. Does God do things instantly? Absolutely. Do we see miracles? Absolutely. I've seen so many miracles, I'm way beyond even getting thrilled about a miracle. I expect miracles to a degree in people's lives. Just truly expect them from the heart. But I also understand that a miracle is but a sign and a testimony for those that are operating in seed, time, and harvest to be patient that God is going to come through for you. His word is going to work for you. See, one of the ways you water the seed is by seeing God work in other people's lives. Do you remember the first thing Mary did after she believed, received, and conceived? She went to her cousin Elizabeth and said, what's going on with you? And she began to prophesy. And a six-month-old baby leaped in her womb. Not a fetus, not a tissue mass. John the Baptist at 6 months was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb and had great joy at the working of the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth, his mother's life, and in Mary's life. That's pretty incredible, saints. Anybody who wants the truth on abortion can have it if they'll submit to the Word of God. To the Word of God. When Elizabeth began to prophesy, that's when Mary began to prophesy and say some wonderful things about the will of God too. So one of the ways the seed gets watered is by hanging around people who have God working in their lives. It don't matter if they're Baptists, it don't matter if they're Methodists, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Presbyterians. I hang around people who's got the kingdom working in them, who's got miracles going on. Because when I see God working in their life, that's like water on the seed that I know God going to keep his word to me and work in my life. Amen? God's working. Quit going to Zechariah. Go to Elizabeth. Go to people who know what they're talking about because they're experiencing the kingdom. Quit going to theologians where everything is theology and everything is doctrine. Those people are full of doubt and unbelief. They don't have a personal experience with God and a revelation going on with God. Find some Elizabeths, hallelujah, that's got something happening in their heart, happening in their lives, and that'll water you. Get in a church that praises God and worships God because our praise and worship, that's the Holy Spirit watering the seed. Watering the seed. Get around a preacher that's preaching the word, that's preaching the things of the kingdom of God, because for some of you, I'm sowing seeds. For others of you, I'm watering last week's seed. Hallelujah. But God's going to give the increase. If you'll be patient and wait on God, don't get in a hurry. Realize this stuff takes time. Realize there's a process going on here. You know, can God save a marriage that's 20 years into death? And about to collapse and turn it around overnight? Absolutely. Absolutely. But even that marriage is going to have to believe the word, receive the word, and conceive the word of God on marriage. And then the word changed their marriage. See, once we get this straight, there's no more legalism. There's no more condemnation. It's the word that does the work. It's the word that has the power to change me. It's the word doing all the work. I'm bearing it. That is such good news. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. And I'll close there, 1 Corinthians 3. Seed, time, and harvest. First principle is the power of God, not the power of man. Second principle, God's word is seed. It's got to be sown. Third principle, I got to believe it. I got to believe, receive, and conceive. Fourth principle, Holy Spirit overshadows it. Got to water the seed. Fifth principle, seed, time, and harvest. It's going to take some time. Be patient. Wait on God. Wait on God. God will perform His Word in your life. The Word has the power to perform itself. I don't perform it. I enjoy it. I don't perform it. I experience it. That's why I don't get around somebody full of theology. I get around somebody experiencing something. You know, how many of you know it's one thing to know the ins and outs of electricity and how it works? But I personally don't want to sit around with hours and hours and hours with an electrician. No offense, Chris. But I don't want to sit around with an electrician for hours and hours and hours giving me the theology of electricity. Giving me the ups and downs, ins and outs, and all them funny little signals and symbols they all have and all that. No! The guy I want to meet is the guy holding a 220 and his hair's looking like mine. That guy knows something about electricity. Come on now. Y'all didn't get my illustration, and I thought that was good. You don't want to get around somebody to tell you about God. That's called religion. You can go to churches on every corner that can talk to you about God. I don't want somebody to talk to me about God. I want to hear from somebody who knows God and can communicate God. Because what I'm doing right now, my words are life. My words are life. I am speaking bodies of truth. I'm sharing seed, the Word of God. And if you open your heart, that stuff, boom, gets on the inside of you. And it's not theology and philosophy, it's life. And it'll explode on the inside of you. Change your attitude, change your outlook, change your direction, change where you go, where you don't go, what you do, what you don't do. I won't even have to say a thing about what you do, what you don't do, where you go, where you should be. I won't even have to talk about being in the deer woods versus being in church. I'd never do that anyway. I wouldn't embarrass anybody like that. I got to let that go, amen. I feel like I'm about ready to sin publicly. I'm going to have to repent. Everybody say, I love Brother Clay. I got you. Okay, I didn't get some of you still mad at me. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Notice these were ministers by whom you believed. They were ministers by whom you believed. See, one of the ways God gets the kingdom to you is through human agency speaking the Word of God. That's how He gets the kingdom to you. That's how He gets it in you, is through seeds, the Word of the kingdom. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They're just ministers by whom you believed. Look at verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. For you are God's husbandry. Underline that. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Now husbandry, that don't mean anything to a lot of people. That's that King James translation. Husbandry means field or garden. Or God. And listen to me, dear ones. You are God's garden. You are God's field. And His will is to sow seed in His garden, in His field. What is it in my life that is the garden of God, the field of God? My heart. My heart. And if you have a good heart and you keep your heart, I promise you, the seed has the power to reproduce after its own kind. If you will believe, receive, and conceive, the seed in your heart, your good heart, God Almighty will send people into your lives. God Almighty will give you all kinds of human agency speaking the Word. Some will be planting, some will be watering, but God will give the increase. God will bring it to pass in your life. I take the Word of the kingdom, by His stripes I'm healed, and I put it in my heart. I believe it, I receive it, and I conceive, and in time my body will respond. The Holy Spirit will water that seed. I've taken the seed, the Word of the kingdom on prosperity, because I grew up so poor in such a poverty mentality that I had to take that Word and bombard my head and put it in my heart. And I would miscarry the thing. I mean, I'd start to believe it, and I know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if I'm communicating, but I would believe it for a day or two, but then my past would come back. A traditionalist would come along I'd do a stupid thing like try to watch Christian TV and hear about all this doubt and unbelief and have a miscarriage right there. Abort the thing innocently. And then I got to start over again, get back in the Word and get the Word back in me. Am I helping anybody besides my wife? A couple of my daughters. That's how it works. That's how it works. And it works the same way for everybody. Again, for some of you, I'm planting today. I'm planting. You're not going to see everything changed overnight. But you can sense something's happening on the inside of me. Some of you, most of you that come to Victory, I watered the seed. You've been to church your whole life. I'm going to share some scriptures next Sunday. It's going to delight your heart. I promise it's going to delight your heart about how many of us, boy, we had seed sown on the inside of us our whole life, but we were so destitute of the Holy Spirit. We didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was. Any kind of activity of the Holy Spirit was so shut down that we quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit, not even realizing we're hindering the seed and the watering of the seed. It's the Holy Spirit has to overshadow it or it won't take root and you won't bear fruit. A lot of you, I love you. God loves you. But you're going to walk right out of here now and you're going to go live a sinful lifestyle. You're going to harden your heart. Sin hardens your heart. It grieves the Holy Spirit. I can sow the seed in there. And it's good seed, and it'll work for you, just like it'll work for Sue, and it'll work for anybody else who will receive it, who will believe it, who will conceive it in their heart. But because you're going to harden your heart, and you won't live a repentive life, you quench the Holy Spirit, so it stays there dormant. You get a little mental assent, but you don't see your life really changed. A lot of you came into this church with that kind of background, a religious background, no Holy Spirit, a sinful background. You knew the Word, you'd heard the Word, the seed got in there, but it wasn't taking root. All of a sudden, you repented. And I mean, listening to me was like taking a drink of water out of a fire hydrant. I mean, the water hit. And when that water hit, poof, all those seeds just begin to spring up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If Sue ever gets the courage to share what happened to me in 1980, when I came back to the Lord, and in my memory, I didn't know a thing in the Bible, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the water. Sue can testify. I love to hear her talk about it because, you know, I can't see it because I'm in it. But I mean, 6 months after getting back right with God, I mean, I was preaching the gospel and I was quoting Bible like you wouldn't. I mean, all those years of all that Word was lying there dormant. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, bam, the water hit and it started taking root. And I was saying things that there is no way I could know that stuff that quick. But it was the Word that had been sown in me since I was a child. But it lied there dormant. And boy, then I got in a Spirit-filled church where every service, the anointing was working and there was worship of God. The water, the water. Now I want the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. I don't want Word without Spirit. I do not want Spirit without Word. I want Word and Spirit, because that's how the kingdom works. It's seed, that's the Word of the kingdom. It's water, that's the Holy Spirit overshadowing it. And like Mary, I can conceive in the womb of my heart and bring forth the Holy Child Jesus in my life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I believe you're getting it. Hallelujah. I believe you're getting it. And I'm excited for you because you're going to have an exciting life in the kingdom. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful day today. I'm so glad I was here and that I overcame. God's going to bless me and get me a giant deer this week. I'm believing for a return on my sacrifice. Old Jimmy Jeter shot one with a bow, a big one. This ain't right. I got to pray. Father, I thank you for our brothers, all kidding aside. Lord, we got brothers in the deer woods and I would never condemn them. Many of them, man, this is a joy for them, a chance of downtime. I bless them. I pray you bless them. I pray they don't shoot each other, oh God, and that they would shoot the right thing. And Father, they would be blessed that you'd give them a good deer and give them a good time, give them good fellowship with the other brothers. And may this be a great time. May they get the tape and hear the good word of God and receive. I pray for those that are here today, Father, that for some I planted, for others I watered, but we all agree with all our heart that you're going to give the increase. We expect increase. We expect babies in the name of Jesus. We expect fruit in the name of Jesus. We expect much fruit to come forth. We welcome the Holy Spirit, the great teacher. We welcome the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, to overshadow what I said today. Overshadow it as people leave. Give them patience, O God. It's seed time. Seed time and harvest. Just wait. Just be patient. Just love God and love each other. And we'll see this stuff come to pass. And I thank you for it earnestly with all my heart. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord one more praise. Thank you, Lord. Man, I look at your lives and I just, the delight seeing the changed lives. And I know it's the Word of God working in your life. What a great destiny we're all heading toward because of the Word.